Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the Iggy Azalea to my Rita Ora, Keith Caulfield. How's it going, Keith?
What? I'm well. How are you?
K-E-I-T-H.
That's so down or something.
On that awkward note,
yes.
Let's do it, man. Video Music Awards were last night. For those tuning into this, thank you for listening to this special episode of the Pop Shop Podcast. Keith was at the VMAs last night on the red carpet. I watched the show. I wrote a whole lot about the show. We're going to talk about the show. We will have the regularly scheduled Pop Shop Podcast later this week where we break down all the chart goodness. That is not this show. This is just about the VMAs. So yeah, man, did you have fun last night? How was the red carpet?
Red carpet was okay. Okay.
It was okay.
It was okay. Yeah, it was okay. I mean, the people that I talked to were great. It's hard because you know, if any of you that are listening have seen red carpet coverage on TV, you kind of know how this works. Like, you know, the stars walk in and then there's this huge long carpet in front of them. And really, it depends on where you're placed on the carpet if you'll get to talk to a lot of celebrities. So
yeah.
We didn't get a whole ton of people, but we did certainly get a lot of very cool people in all those videos, including videos from people like, you know, Ed Sheeran and 5 Seconds of Summer are on Billboard.com. But I had a good time and it was fun to talk to the people I talked to.
Keith, we'll actually play some audio from those interviews.
Ooh, you will.
Later in the show. Oh, yeah. But also check out all of Keith's great work on the red carpet.
Don't go anywhere yet. Keep listening.
Yeah, keep listening. Come on. Come on, guys. We got to start at the end of the show, of course, with Beyoncé's stunning visual performance of basically her whole self-titled album.
Yeah, it was every song from the album, wasn't it?
I believe it was. And it was unbelievable. I admit that I am not the absolute hugest Beyoncé fan. Not that I have anything against her, it's just my personal taste. Like I'm not like one of those people on Twitter that is going like, oh my god, the queen has arrived. Like that's just not me, and that's fine. But I really was blown away by this performance. She, like you said, she kind of took over MTV for 15 minutes with this amazing choreography and this whole amazing set design and
movement. The lighting was amazing. Like, yeah. Just it looked so. It was incredible. It was a very, very visual performance. It was a very fitting performance for the VMAs because it was the way the lighting was done to make you think that it was deeper and there was more depth to it, and the way things moved and the dancers, and there was like moving platforms on the stage, and it was incredible.
Yeah. So you thought it was incredible as well?
Well, I thought it was incredible. I didn't know. I mean, I've listened to the songs, but I'm not like a crazy Beyoncé fan, and you don't have to be a crazy Beyoncé fan to actually appreciate the performance for what it was.
Yeah.
Because I think she took it as an opportunity to, you know, celebrate this album and to accept the Video Vanguard Award, which is what this was for. And I think she was probably thinking, you know, MTV gave this to me because they were noting how much I've done in my career, but also the boundaries I broke with my visual album. And so why not take this opportunity to celebrate that visual album, which is groundbreaking because I am Beyoncé, and therefore do this huge performance all around that album, which, you know, why not?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. I mean, if you think about the Justin Timberlake performance last year, which was kind of like a greatest hits montage, and NSYNC came out, it was very cool. But this had so much care put into it and so much thought, you know, engraved in every movement. And, you know, it just seemed like you said, like she was being recognized for her visual achievements instead of her musical achievements, because this is the Video Music Awards. And she really took that to heart, and I just can't believe. I mean, watching it by minute 11 and minute 12, you're just like, how are you not exhausted from what she's doing? I mean, you know,
yeah,
she
how
has,
are you not winded already? You know,
she's playing. You know, she's playing stadiums with Jay-Z, so she's used to performing. But you have some breaks in between songs. This was like back to back to back to back. And you know, it's funny because I was thinking last night on my way home. We were at the Billboard office war room, as always. I was thinking about why Beyonce maybe isn't my favorite performer. Not that I, you know, again, this isn't a criticism of her artistry. It's just my personal preference, is that she's always seemed a little bit too impenetrable to me. And it's almost like the word flawless comes to mind. Mm-hmm. No pun intended. Just there just seems to be so – it's so clean and so refined.
It's hard to get through that, yeah.
It is hard to get through that because I've seen her perform before a couple times, and everything she does is so in place that it's almost a little unnerving.
Nothing goes wrong.
You want to hear that. Yeah. You want to see that humanity as well. You want to connect with someone, and maybe I've had a little trouble doing that. But I think in this instance where she's just given like a 15-minute spectacle, I think it totally works. It is that kind of perfection. And then you top it all off with this amazing – you know, family moment, Jay-Z and Blue Ivy at the end presenting her with the award. It was great. I mean, I think that people were bowled over when we were all watching it at the Billboard office. Nobody said anything during the performance. Everyone was just totally silent and watching it and just completely blown away.
It's pretty daring to do a 15-16 minute performance where a good chunk of the songs are not singles, but you know, she would counter with, yeah, but look how popular this album was, and look how many people bought this album, and look how viral these videos are, and look how many videos I made a video for every single one of these songs. MTV, I am getting an award as a Video Vanguard Award because I'm a visual artist. By the way, did I tell you that I made a video for every single one of the songs on my album, and I'm going to play them all for you tonight? Thank you. So yeah, and it clearly a moment at the end designed to be kind of like, you know, shut up haters. Like, by the way, here's my husband and my daughter on stage together, and now I'm crying. So if y'all want to, like, you know, run around and talk about some rumors about how we're allegedly breaking up, feel free. But thank you for my award, husband, Jay-Z.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was definitely very calculated in terms of that, but also very affecting, and I just love the whole thing. And it was funny because the show like abruptly ended. There was no sign off after she was done. It was just done. It was just over.
It was running over too. The show was like, what, 15 minutes late or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
I felt it was very it was the optimal merging of Diana Ross and Janet Jackson in a way.
Yeah.
And I mean that in total respect, where it has this sort of like elegance and glamour of Diana and the arm movements and the hair, and then the choreography and like the sexy and the, you know, the powerfulness of like Janet. And, you know, she's saluted women like that in the past too. So, I mean, it was such a great performance. She's such a great showman, and duh, of course she gets the Video Vanguard Award.
Yeah. And just the last thing I wanted to mention about this Beyonce, and then we have to move on. It was almost like a great counter to her Super Bowl performance, because the Super Bowl performance offered everything you would want to see from a greatest hit set of in terms of like a big televised performance. You had the big hits, and Destiny's Child came out, and this was totally different. It was totally in the moment, and only one album, and not all singles. And
you'll never see this again. You'll never
exactly
get this again.
And that's a great way to put it.
It's a unique moment, and that's why it was special for the VMAs. And whenever Beyonce does an award show performance on TV, it is special, and you'll probably never see anything like that from her again, because she makes everything so special. Like, look at what she did at the Billboard Awards a couple years ago, and
yeah, that
how
was
viral that
unbelievable.
Was. So, yeah.
Very cool. So congrats to Beyonce again, Video Vanguard Award, and I think we could say easily the best performance of the night. There were some other great ones, though. I really enjoyed the opening number, Ariana Grande doing Break Free, then Nicki Minaj doing Anaconda, then Jessie J joining both of them for their new hit, Bang Bang. It was almost like the complete opposite of the Beyonce in retrospect, because it wasn't like emotional at all. It was just kind of like goofy fun, and they were wardrobe malfunctions and kind of clunky choreography, but it was fun. It was kind of like slapdash enjoyment. What did you think of that one?
Slapdash. Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the word you really want to use?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought it is the old fashioned VMA performance where you have this cavalcade of big divas, you know, a spaceship that opens up, revealing diva of the moment, Ariana. You know, Nicki Minaj, which I didn't see any snakes on stage, so evidently they nixed the snake at some point.
Yeah, I think once you get a backup dancer bit by a snake, I think you got to nix the snakes.
Jessie J's voice is amazing. She can sort of just, you know, sing and wail pretty much anything. I can understand how that can be like grating on some people after a while, but really her mouth opens up and this voice just like blah, falls out. I did find it amusing that Nicki Minaj was having a wardrobe malfunction when she came back after Anaconda. She came back to rejoin the other two for Bang Bang, for her verse in Bang Bang, and she's holding on to her dress in two different parts. Thank God for that hand-free microphone. Otherwise, we would have had some problems. But I mean, I wonder, when you're making a dress for a quick change, because she has about a minute and a half tops to get out of her Anaconda outfit underneath the stage, probably in a quick change room, into a little black mini dress. Why would you put a zipper up the middle of the front of the dress?
Yeah.
Just put on a wrap shirt. I don't know, a tube skirt. That might be good. Think of everything that could possibly go wrong and have something there on the side. I don't know, a big shawl, a fur coat. You had a fur coat later on in the show when you came out and sang with Usher. Where was all this stuff? Which makes you think maybe... they were hoping, someone was hoping it would go wrong, but I doubt that she would ever think like that, but you never know.
Well, that's why I use the word slapdash, and I'm going to defend my use of the word slapdash.
In that particular instance, yes.
There were just parts of this performance that I was like, look, Ariana Grande is coming out of a spaceship. And it was like, all right, I mean, I guess it's because she had a spaceship in the Break Free video, but it's like... You don't need a spaceship. You're fine. Like,
we need her to come out of something.
Yeah, and just like if you watch like the Nicki's verse in Bang Bang and then the dancing, it was part of it was that she was trying to hold her dress together, but
she couldn't do the choreography. If you
watch Jessie J and Ariana Grande, it's just like I don't think they knew really like where they were moving either. It was all kind of like hastily put together. I got that feeling, but it was so fun. I really enjoyed that.
Kind of makes you wonder why they didn't, because you know Taylor Swift was the next performance of the night, and I'm kind of wondering, well, why didn't Taylor open the show? Because I don't know.
Yeah, that. So let's talk about Taylor's performance, which I thought was a little bit disappointing. And we talked about "Shake It Off" last week on the Pop Shop podcast. I really like that song. You mentioned the Great Gatsby before we started taping. I thought it was a little bit, off. I just thought it was a little bit stale, just compared to her previous award show performances. And this is the problem with artists like Taylor Swift and especially Usher, who we'll get to later. You have your award show performances compared to other award show performances because you've been around so long and you've done so many of them that, you know, I thought back to when she did 22 at the Billboard Music Awards. I thought back to when she did We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together at the VMAs 2 years ago. Just stronger performances to me. And there was that whole bit about, you know, she's like, oh, I'm not going to jump off the ledge.
Which is cute. Which is very cute.
Yeah, I just didn't vibe with it. What did you think of Taylor?
Or evidently you didn't think it was cute.
Yeah, it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, we get the joke. I don't know.
Well, here are my notes. I took notes. Lothario Tuxedo Dancers. I recognized a former Kylie Minogue dancer among them.
Oh, I know you. I know you do.
If you're watching it at home, you know when she's about to not jump off the top of the thing, he's the one right to the right with the really strong chin and jawline.
Thank you.
I thought
that no one else, you are not going to hear that anywhere else except the Pop Shop podcast. So yes. This is why you listen to this show.
I felt like if any of her backing singers or backing hornists, saxophonists, trumpetists were actually real horn players or singers, that would be really interesting because they didn't look like actual.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Otherwise, I thought it was cute. I mean, she's not really a dancer. She's not really.
No.
So you have to have a lot of stuff kind of dressed up around her. And I thought she was just having fun. And there was a lot of eye candy to look at. And it was clearly all about 1989. And, you know, by the way, there's this big setup behind me that's advertising the new album called 1989. Yeah. So I get it. And it was cute. I do think, you know, it's hard to top some of the previous performances that she's done. But I still think it was an effective performance. And it was very sort of fitting for Taylor Swift.
Yeah, I guess a little bit underwhelmed just because especially this is her first time performing Shake It Off. I wanted to, yeah, see it maybe open the show or have it just be this big kind of showstopper in the middle of the show. I don't know. I just was a little bit, I thought it was a little bit off.
Well, maybe MTV thought that too, and that's why they make it the second performance of the night instead of the first performance.
There you go. So speaking of performances in the middle of the show, Sam Smith, I thought did a tremendous job with Stay With Me. This was, we talked about this on last week's Pop Shop podcast, how this could be kind of like his Someone Like You moment, where he slows down the whole VMAs like Adele did 3 years ago and just kind of showcases his voice and gets people on board with a ballad. And I thought he really executed this performance well. What did you think?
I did too. I was trying to see where the backing vocalists were at.
You could see them. I kind of wish they were closer to him. He was in like the middle of the forum, I guess. He was on a platform with a pianist, and you could kind of see the chorus on stage behind him.
I think that was just the pre-taped like vocals from the song itself. I don't think they were actually live in the house. I could be wrong. I did see the band way off in the distance, but since they didn't
I thought the vocals were live. I mean, I could be wrong too, but
considering that the choir on the record is actually him doubled and tripled and quadrupled, it's not really a choir. It's actually his voice. I liked it. I mean, he's got a great voice, and it's a compelling song, so you don't really want a lot of frills in something like this.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the iTunes top songs list right now, and it's number 7 as we talk, so clearly it moved people. But then again, a lot of the songs that we heard on the show are in the top 10 on iTunes. So I expect to see a little bit of movement, but I don't think that that's suddenly going to have a jumping to number 1 moment on the Billboard Hot 100 this week.
Yeah, we'll see. It peaked at number 2. You spoke to Sam Smith on the red carpet about this insane year.
He remembered
that he's
had. He remembered who I was.
He remembered.
Did
you mention the Pop Shop podcast? We got to get someone to mention, like we got to get, like, I don't know, like Meghan Trainor to be like, "Oh yeah, I was on the Pop Shop podcast." We're going to get that
in
one
time.
Day.
Jason.
In time.
In time.
Well, check out this clip of Sam Smith talking about his insane 6 months leading up to his VMA's performance on the Pop Shop podcast.
I'm really freaked out right now. This is just really amazing. It's just weird. It's like when I did the Grammys, no one knew who I was. And now I'm here and people seem to know who I am. It's really odd.
They seem to know who you are. Oh, come on.
It's crazy.
All the artists want to collaborate with you. I'm not giving you lip service, but everyone is talking about you tonight.
Yeah, it's weird. It's odd. I watch this every year from a very young age, and to be here is just crazy. Wishing my friends were here as well, who I watched it with, but I couldn't bring them.
It's hard. It's a lot. It's a big entourage.
I know. I'm not Nicki Minaj yet. I can't bring loads of people.
So there you have it, Sam Smith on the red carpet with Keith, and what a year he has had. One of the best performances of the night, in my opinion. We got to get to a couple more performances. 5 Seconds of Summer did Amnesia. Speaking of slowing things down, did not do Don't Stop or She Looks So Perfect. They did their new ballad, Amnesia. And I feel like this performance, Keith, I don't know how closely you were paying attention to Twitter last night, but I feel like they got really hammered on social media. They
really?
Were like, yeah, people were like, who are these kids? Why are they, like, is emo back? Why aren't they singing Dashboard Confessional
You're
songs?
You're following a lot of memes.
I know. But I thought they were great. I mean, I thought they held their own against, you know, people like Beyonce and Taylor Swift and Nicki Minaj. I thought that
they
added
great.
Something. Yeah, I thought they added something a little bit different to the show. And I think they fit right in. And you talked to them as well on the red carpet.
I did. I don't quite remember what we talked about, but I did.
It was a crazy night for you.
It was
a
crazy night, and it was hard to hear.
But. Well, let's hear it. Here's 5 Seconds of Summer talking to Keith on the red carpet at the VMAs.
Are you guys always recording music while you're on the road? Are you always like writing and recording?
We usually take like breaks every now and then, like in between, to like record songs and write stuff. And it's cool.
You're always like recording like voice memos and like concepts in your phone, so you're pretty much constantly writing.
I think when you're on tour, you got to go away and live a little, so you can write different music. I think that's the most important thing. So
5 Seconds of Summer, that was about an hour before they took the stage to perform Amnesia off of their number one self-titled album. So Keith, let's get to some of the non-performance stuff of the night. I think the most memorable moment in terms of the awards was Miley Cyrus winning Video of the Year for Wrecking Ball. Before we get to her unorthodox acceptance speech, what do you think of that? Do you think Wrecking Ball is worthy of Video of the Year? Were you, rooting for anybody else? I mean, that's like, I guess the VMAs, the awards themselves aren't really that memorable in the way that like the Grammy for Best New Artist is or something like that. People kind of remember the Video of the Year. What did you think of Wrecking Ball taking it this year?
I don't think people remember who wins Video of the Year. I know that when I was we're both of an age where we remember sort of the heyday of MTV.
I'm stroking my gray beard right now.
Get out my walker and hobble up to when Chris Rock and Arsenio was hosting the show.
Do you remember when Dan Aykroyd was on it?
Oh, do you remember when Bette Midler and Dan Aykroyd hosted that first VMAs in 84?
Yeah, man.
Whoa, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Downtown Julie Brown.
Video of the Year.
The point was, you were asking, do people remember? I'm like, I don't think people remember. Most people have a hard time remembering who wins Record of the Year at the Grammy Awards. Most people have a hard time remembering who wins any awards at this point. So for this particular category, I know that I actually remember quite a few of the Video of the Year winners from the late 80s and the early 90s, back when the only way to watch videos was to watch them on MTV. And I remember how, Madonna and Sinead O'Connor and Janet Jackson and, the Smashing Pumpkins won and, Eminem and so forth. I think now, because the awards, almost all of the awards are fan voted, they are really sort of up to the whim of fans and fan voting on the web and whoever has the biggest fan army and whatever. So, yes, some of these videos you think, well, should have Sia's Chandelier won over Wrecking Ball. What about Drunken Love winning over Wrecking Ball from Miley Cyrus? Well, if the fans are voting, it really doesn't matter because it's just whoever's most popular with the fans. It has nothing to do with quality at this point.
So the fans vote for Video of the Year as well?
Yes. The fans vote for all of them except for the professional categories like cinematography, editing, direction. There's 6 professional categories. Everything else is fan voted.
Yeah.
On the one hand, you can understand it, but I think MTV hopes, well, look, we've put 5 high-quality videos into this category.
That's true, yeah.
We're thrilled with any one of the 5 winning, and we hope for the best. Wrecking Ball wins for Video of the Year, directed by Terry Richardson, who's not without his controversy in the past year. So congrats to Terry Richardson.
So instead of bringing Terry Richardson
Thankfully, that would have been horrible.
That would have been
horribly delicious, but horrible.
Miley Cyrus brought a young gentleman named Jesse on stage. He is a homeless runaway. And instead of Miley Cyrus saying anything about the Video of the Year award, Jesse talked about, the rate of homeless runaways, especially in Los Angeles, and offered, I believe, directed people to Miley Cyrus's Facebook page to see how they could help. I thought this was an unbelievably classy move from Miley. And a year after she was wagging her tongue and twerking in front of Robin Thicke, totally different vibe this year. She was dressed very tastefully and offered some social criticism. What'd you think? What was your reaction when you saw this happen?
Once again, Miley knows how to steal the show.
It's true. It's really true.
And she did it in a complete 180 compared to a year ago. And, Miley gets the last laugh. She's like, you paid attention to me then, you pay attention to me now. And I can twerk and shake my butt. And then at the same time, I can make you a little bit more aware of something. And so she made people aware of her new homeless center, My Friend's Place. It's I think it's a it's a homeless center for young people in Hollywood. That's what her Facebook page says. She's raising money through Prizio. So there's a whole all sorts of information on her page, but it was a nice gesture to not even just go up, to just send up her friend on stage instead to read a statement, and which makes you immediately think, because I'm that person, makes you think, okay, so she was told that she was going to win an award tonight or last night, because why else would you have brought him with you if you did not know that you would have the opportunity to have the microphone? Because she did not win any other awards earlier in the night, correct? That was the one and only award she won.
Yeah, that was the one only award she won.
At least
in terms of presented awards.
Yeah, I mean, she... So, of course, I'm thinking, did you know that you were going to win? I think you probably did. And I'm looking at what else she won, and that's the only award that she won that night was for Video of the Year. So... Yeah. So she clearly had to have known that she was going to win, but it was a nice gesture.
Even if she didn't know, I mean, you got to figure MTV would give Miley Cyrus the microphone in some way, in some form or fashion. So maybe she was tipped off, maybe she wasn't.
Maybe.
But I thought a very unexpected move, very powerful move, and kudos to Miley Cyrus. You know, we kind of get caught up in the pop realm of things, and like, oh, was this performance, you know, great, or oh, is this single doing well? But you know, Miley Cyrus, I give her credit for actually stepping forward and talking about something that really matters. I also really liked Common's moment of silence for Mike Brown, his words on Ferguson. I thought it was very necessary to comment on that, even during an awards show. I wish that the Robin Williams tribute was more than 15 seconds long. I mean, I know that, you know, they've been planning this show for weeks or months.
Where was the Lauren Bacall tribute?
Where was Damn the it. Lauren Bacall tribute?
I mean, come on. She's name-checked in Vogue, and that is a VMA-winning video. Come on.
I know. What's funny, for those
I'm kidding
who didn't watch or missed or whatever, they just showed Robin Williams' face for like 15 seconds on screen.
It was a little montage of images.
Coldplay, A Sky Full of Stars, and I was like, oh no, like is this really how this is gonna play out? I was like waiting for Philip Seymour Hoffman to be next on the next commercial break and have them play Magic by Coldplay and just keep bringing out sadder Coldplay songs. Oh,
you know, MTV, the producers are like, all right, so what is resonating right now with our demographic of, you know, 15 to, you know, 25-year-olds? And, Robin Williams, he's been trending on Twitter. So
that's very cynical, but probably very true.
Of course it's cynical, because that's what we do. This is the music industry, and we know exactly how this works. And that's why Robin Williams got a 24-second tribute montage last night.
Yeah, so... a couple odds and ends. Maroon 5's performance, I mean, they were a little... They had to play in front of Beyonce, which is kind of a bummer. Everybody was looking forward to Beyonce at that point in the show.
Did they get two performances in the night?
They kind of cut in and... it was Maps, and then they... During like a commercial break or something, while they were still setting up Beyonce's show.
Oh, they showed a little bit of the.
They showed a little bit of them performing more stuff.
So it must have been because their concert stage was behind the press line. When we were waiting, they had us in a corral before we walked out to our spot on the red carpet, and we were behind Maroon 5's stage, and they were rehearsing. They were doing sound check while we were waiting to move to the red carpet later. So I was like, wow, that's a pretty elaborate stage setup. And it looked, you know, obviously very cool and everything on TV with the backdrop of the Forum, the fabulous Forum behind them.
Do you remember, and it was floating around Twitter last night, do you remember Adam Levine cursing off the VMAs 3 years ago?
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, it's Adam Levine.
Adam Levine, he tweeted in August 2011 that he was like, you've gone too far, FUVMAs, and I don't really remember what in context to what it was, but 3 years later, he's playing at the VMAs.
The power of promotion.
Power of promotion, yeah. Maroon 5's new album.
I did find it amazing how Drake won for... Didn't he win for...
Best hip-hop video.
Hip-hop video, and he wasn't there.
Yeah.
Which is weird. Yeah. And like MTV knew, so that makes you think on the one hand, okay, wait, MTV knows what awards they're going to give out in the air and they know who is and is not in the house. Why would they waste the time to give out an award to someone who isn't actually there? But maybe they didn't know that he was going to win, or maybe they thought he was going to be there. Anyway, sorry. I guess we'll never know. I parted ways with your scripted moments, Jason.
No, that's fine. No, I just wanted to get to the last two performances we haven't talked about. Usher with Nicki Minaj. It was just like a performance that was defined by Usher's shoulder bumping up against Nicki Minaj's behind six times and then smacking it. It's like, oh, Usher, what are you doing, sir?
Yes, it's the I'm trying to have a moment, goddammit. I'm trying to have my twerking moment. Let me have my moment. I'm Usher. Nicki, yeah. Where are you? Let me hit my head against your ass.
I really like that song, by the way. She Came to Give It to You. I think that the title is like three words too long, but that's just me.
Should it be Just Give It to You? Or just
She came to ... That's what I was saying last night. She came to ... Then we'll find out. Listen to
what she came to do. Right.
Exactly.
That might. Maybe you should call up his label and tell him that.
Dear RCA Records, this song's title is
Here Are My Thoughts.
A bit too long. Finally, Iggy Azalea and Rita Ora doing Black Widow. Well, I was pleasantly surprised by this performance. I thought that in the same way that the Ariana, Nicki, Jessie J performance was just pure fun and the stakes were kind of low and everyone was just having a good time, I got that same vibe from Iggy and Rita. I think that, you know, Black Widow is growing into a big hit and this was their first time performing it. They had a lot of fun with it. I thought Iggy sounded great. I mean, she, you know, her flow was on point and she'd had some moves and Rita was having a blast in the spotlight. And yeah, I don't really have that much else to say about that. I just enjoyed it.
My notes were vibes of the Jacksons torture video. If you're listening,
you're gonna have to explain that to the listeners.
If you go watch the video for Torture by the Jacksons, it's hilarious because it's choreographed by Paula Abdul. The video was made, I think it was 84 or 85. It was for the Jacksons' Victory album. It was the first single from that album. Hilariously, in the video, two of the Jacksons who are singing most of the lyrics or most of the song, Jermaine and Michael, are not actually in the video. At one point, you see a wax figure of Michael Jackson because he didn't show up to the set, so they had to put in a wax figure for him instead.
That's what I'm going to do at like our editorial meetings from now on. When I can't make it, I'll just submit a wax figure of myself.
But what reminded me of the Black Widow performance is that Black Widow had this whole sort of like bejeweled, like vixen, like I'm going to kill you vibe thing going on because we're all Black Widows. And if you watch the torture video, the main sort of like villain in the video is this sort of evil woman who is wearing kind of like a torturous bodysuit and there's a lot of like spider webs and it's all about getting caught in the web of this. So if you watch it, I was like, wow, someone watched that video for this performance. But maybe it's just me. Maybe it was just me.
Well, I am going to have to watch that video again. I haven't watched the video in a very, very, very long time. But
I don't think you've actually seen it, Jason.
No, come on, man. You're questioning my Pop Shop credentials. Of course I've seen the torture video.
I'm not questioning it. I'm just stating. remember when the VMAs used to have like a million performances? It seems like there's fewer performances, but maybe there really aren't.
Down.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
There were eight,
There were eight, and then one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. I mean, there used to be like 10. It seems like there's fewer, but I think they're just trying to make the performances more elaborate so you'll fit more people into one performance.
Yeah, that's the thing is that you gave Beyonce 15 minutes. That could have been three performances. So.
Like that's the new rule now with the Video Vanguard Award. If they give that to someone, they give them... It's like the guarantee of like you get 15 minutes of promotion time on our show, which is incredible.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I really like that. I was thinking about that. I was just like, it's just a nice thing, I think. And Billboard, we do something similar at the Billboard Music Awards with the Icon Award. Jennifer Lopez, I believe that was this past year.
Yes.
Jennifer Lopez accepted it with a an elaborate performance. But yeah, I really like this kind of like, it's not really a lifetime achievement. It's sort of like, hey, this is a huge artist who's done a lot of great stuff, and let's give them 15 minutes to do whatever the heck they want. I like it. Keith, we are running over. We got to wrap up very quickly. Red carpet, man. What other highlights? We heard from Sam Smith. We heard from 5 Seconds of Summer. I'm sure you talked to a plethora of celebrities on Sunday night. What were some of the highlights for you?
Well, the highlights of my experience on the red carpet. Talking to 5 Seconds of Summer for about 5 seconds. Well, it was actually about a little more than a minute or two, which was cool. Ed Sheeran was a hoot, as always. He did a great Instagram video for us. We might embed that into the page on the podcast where I inadvertently...
Oh, yeah, we should. People can want to see that.
I stay out of the frame for all of the video content that Billboard does unless I'm forced to be in it. And he put me into it and I didn't really want to be. So it's actually funny. Sam Smith was great because when he came up, I said, hey, we've actually talked before at the Grammys. Like, I remember you. I'm like, well, even if you don't, you're doing a great job faking it. but he was great. And that was way back before anything happened. So it was pretty incredible to talk to him, you know, in this span of time. Nick Jonas was very tan and very soft-spoken, as Nick Jonas is. Mary Lambert was lovely. Jack Antonoff from Bleachers was great. I'm just sort of sifting through the videos. I'm like, Kaiza was fun.
Can I just interrupt you and say that I'm watching the Instagram video that Ed Sheeran took right now?
Yeah,
it is so funny. He cuts to Keith, and Keith's like, he goes like, ah. Because he didn't know that he was going on.
And then Ed is just like, nope, that's all you're getting. This is the only one I'm recording.
Oh,
so I'm like,
goodness gracious. Yeah, we are definitely going to embed that on the podcast post.
So someone says, like, you know, you kind of look like Ed Sheeran. Like, you have the same nose. I'm like, well, yes, he's my long-lost ginger brother from the UK. Yeah, if only I could be just like Ed Sheeran and just have a little slice of that popularity. Yeah, I mean, those were like the biggest people I talked to. It was fun to talk to Maddie, the little girl from the Chandelier video.
Oh, yeah, she's the sweetest. I've interviewed her.
She was really, I mean, she's very young. And you know, she's 13. She's just like a little girl. So she's, you know, you're not going to like ask her about like, so what are you working on now? But
yeah,
you know, she talked a little bit about Dance Moms and she talked about Sia and but she was great to talk to. But really the biggest ones, and all these videos are online, were 5 Seconds of Summer, Ed Sheeran and Sam Smith. And they were all lovely and we thank them for their time.
Yeah, Keith, as always, you did a kick-ass job on the red carpet. Check out all of Keith's work on Billboard.com. And Billboard.com holds so much post-VMAs coverage.
It'll blow your mind. Insane.
Photos, the winner's list, the best and worst moments, the behind-the-scenes things you didn't see or hear while watching on TV. I ranked the best and worst performances. You can check that out. Keith, I think we have dissected every darn part. Oh, you know what? One thing I want to say, congrats to Fifth Harmony for winning the Artist to Watch Award. Somebody tweeted that they seem like the winners who were like most genuinely happy to be winning. And it was a cool moment. It was like, you know, Pop Shop Podcast friends, Fifth Harmony. That was very cool to see them on stage. Congrats to them.
Yeah, they seem genuinely shocked that they won the Artist to Watch category over Sam Smith and the other folks.
And 5 Seconds of Summer, I think. So
the power of the harmonizers and the fan vote.
Power of the harmonizers. Mm-hmm. Well, Keith, as always, did a great job. And we will be back on Thursday to talk about an exciting week in the charts, how the VMAs are affecting the charts. Taylor Swift will Shake It Off debut at number one in the Hot 100. We'll see.
Bum, bum, bum.
I think Wiz Khalifa might debut
heading to
number one
on the album chart.
So
Ariana Grande could replace him next week with her new album that just came out last
everything.
Night.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, Keith, thanks again. It's early your time, so get some rest, man. Do you have any parting words?
Get some rest. I'm just going to go back to my desk and keep working. Dude.
Well, there you go. Those are some
get some rest, man.
Like,
I'm in the office.
I know. Well, because you're a boss of the red carpet and because Fifth Harmony won the Artist Watch Award, here is Fifth Harmony's boss. Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll see you later this week. Take care.
Oh, baby. Round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.